Blog Talk Radio.
Writer's World. I'm your host and pastor and fellow author, Janet M. Fears. Today, I'm going to be talking about my own poetry. I was very inspired after listening to Maya Angelou and bringing back the poems of hers that so, inspired me. And these are the poems that I have written many, many, many years ago when I was much younger. And it's from a book that I'm going to be titling, Growing Up Black. It's all about poems about my childhood, family, and memories of our times together. And so I really hope that you will, enjoy them because these bring back so many good memories for me, and so I am going to be putting these in a book. When I first thought about the title for my Black poetry book, I couldn't come up with anything, that I really remembered. And then I remembered something my mother said to me a long time ago. She said, growing up isn't hard. It's growing up Black that's hard. I didn't really understand what she meant at the time until I was a lot older. I thought as a young girl that we all had the same chances in life and that everyone loved everyone, but I found out that that wasn't exactly true. Being Black closed many doors for my mother, but it never closed her heart. She was a loving woman who taught me that God loved everybody and that not all people had come to that knowledge of truth yet. As a family, we had many struggles, but we had good times too. These good times and bad times are reflected in my poetry. My mother and grandmother taught us all to be proud of who we are, to be proud of growing up Black. So this is the first poem that I wrote, and I wrote this because my mother, was divorced twice, and she struggled raising six children after two divorces, but she was truly a strong and Black woman. So I wrote this poem called Strong and Black. Strong and Black, that's what she was, strong and Black, like iron. She didn't bend, she didn't run. She stood tall and firm in times of adversity. She was strong and Black. A nation came from her loins, a people formed under hardship, like a diamond under pressure. We will survive because we are her children and we are strong and Black. So even though my mother went through a lot of hardships and, and didn't have a husband and we struggled, but she taught us to, to be self-sufficient and to be strong. And another one I like, I think about my mother, when parents are, passed on and you remember all the things that they did for you. And the one main thing that you will always remember is their love. So I wrote this song, this one, poem called Mama's Love. Mama's love was grits and bacon on a cold morning. Mama's love was a warm kiss on a winter's day. Mama's love was standing in line for hours just to get us toys at Christmas. Mama's love was sleeping without a warm blanket so that we could be warm. Mama's love was scrubbing floors and doing other people's houses so that we could go to school and get educated. Mama's love was teaching us how to get along because we would always be family. Mama's love was showing us how God's love was through her. Mama's love was true and pure. Mama's love never failed us or was always there for us. Mama's love will always live on through us. Our mothers always are there for us no matter what. They always give their all, and so I will always remember these memories and cherish my times with my mother, the times we laughed together and talked together. I will always remember Mama's love. My next poem, I think about how my grandmother and my mother made sure that every Sunday that we got to go to church. They would get us up, and we'd have to walk across the bridge from where we were because the church was farther away, and they'd get us all dressed, and then we would have to walk across the bridge. And I was very definitely afraid of bridges, and so it was always hard for me to walk across, so they would kind of pull me across. But anyway, and they would take us to church, never fail. Every Sunday we went to church, and I thank my grandmother, mother for that. So, but once we got in church, sometimes we had problems as children. Well, you know how children are in church. You know, you get, antsy. You sit a long time. You get tired. So then you start talking. And, in church, you're not supposed to talk, not while the pastor's talking. But that's what kids were, having six of us, so it was always hard. We were always talking and doing things. So my grandmother and mother had a little thing that they did. They would bring candy, and they would give us candy. So this little poem I wrote called Sunday Come a Meeting. Okay. There was Mama and Grandmama and all the children, too, dressed in our Sunday best, sitting in the pew. There was singing and dancing, giving praise to the Lord, while all of us children fell asleep and snored. We didn't hear the preaching and forgiveness for our sins or see the fancy dresses the neighbor folks were in. We never heard the greetings that passed from hand to hand or knew about the eating the pastor's wife had planned. We only dreamed of marbles and other games that children played and never heard the prayers that were said for us that day. But as soon as church was over, we were up and out the door until Sunday come a meeting rolled around again once more. I remember this well. I think we all can relate to those early days in church with our parents. Okay, and this is the one that I meant to read before that, but that's okay. It's called Fighting Over Candy. Like I said, when we went to church, we would get to talking and laughing and stuff, and we weren't supposed to do that. We were supposed to be quiet while the man was talking. So my grandmother and them had a system. They would bring candy, and they would give us candy, so that would keep us quiet while we were eating on a sucker or, whatever it was. Sometimes even jawbreakers, we knew better than to swallow a jawbreaker. But, you'd suck them down, that would take a long time. Okay, so this one's called Fighting Over Candy. Fighting over candy that passed from hand to hand, that Mama tucked inside her purse, it was her master plan. To keep us quiet in the church pew, but Mama never planned on sticky fingers, clothes, and hands. She only planned on listening to the preacher man, who talked about salvation and forgiveness for our sins. Then he opened up the church doors to invite the sinners in. But Mama's plan was ended when she tanned our little hides for fighting over candy. Then she dared us all to cry. That's another good memory of my younger church days. Our mother and grandmother would stick, like I said, candy in their purses to keep us quiet in the church. But when we would start the fighting over who got the biggest piece or which piece was better, theirs was better than mine, and mine was better than theirs, it was then that my grandmother would pull out her house shoe. She carried house shoes in her purse. And she would take us downstairs, and she would whale us with that house shoe. And the house shoes were soft, so it didn't hurt. Because they were real soft, it didn't hurt. But it was just the fact that we would, be whipped with a house shoe, and we were embarrassed. And then we would cry, and our grandmother would make us, she would look at us and say, "You better not cry. You better not shed a tear. You're going to go back upstairs, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to be quiet." So I remember that, but we those are good old days, and I miss my grandmother. She died way back in the 60s, and my mother died in the 70s. But the memories are still there, and so I think about those things. And then, this poem here, my mother always taught us about, standing up for herself, because I was a very shy person, and I had a tendency to let people kind of push me around. But my mom and grandmother were always telling us about, taking up for yourself, and she would say, you got sisters, you take care of your sister, like she would tell my sister Mary, and take care of Janet, and Shirley, take care of Doris, and being her oldest, Shirley, watch out for everybody. And so, that's the way we were, as my grandmother would always say, that there was, there was more than one of us, so it was always one. How she would say it would be, she would send one, but then she'd send a second sister so one could tell the story. So she may ask you something, but then she'd ask the other sister too, because she believed in two and two. And so anyway, so that's what this poem here that I'm going to read, about taking care of each other, and standing strong and firm and fighting for what you believe. This was called Fight On. Fight on, the road may be rough. Fight on, it will make you tough. Fight on, others are watching you. Fight on when you don't know what to do. Fight on, sisters and brothers, fight on. Something my mother had always said, never give up. If you want something bad enough, You have to fight for it. Do all that you can, and then trust the Lord to do the rest. She always talked about the good Lord. She believed in, the, you know, trusting the Lord and asking God for guidance and wisdom. You know, having six kids, you know, she needed a lot of guidance and wisdom. And her and my grandmother, they were God-fearing people, and they did a lot of praying. Okay, and then, you know, she was always talking to me about the love of God. You know, that was very important, you know, to know God, to understand him, and to realize how much he loved you and how much he, you know, wanted to work in my life. You know, being young, I didn't quite understand all that, but later on I wrote this poem. The love of God I cannot comprehend. The love of God reaches down to all men. The love of God is pure, sweet, and kind, like nothing on this earth you will ever find. The love of God will stick with you until the end. The love of God will outlast the love of men. Now, my mom always said that God would never leave you. I guess she knew that this was a truth. After two failed marriages, and men walked out on her, but God never did. And so I do believe in the love of God is a really true love. Now, another poem I wrote, my mom, you know, growing up, my mother did a lot of housework. You know, we were on the aid and everything, you know, so she got stuff from the government. But then after, you know, we got a certain age, like 18, I think it was. Then they, you know, they cut down the amount of money that she got. As each person reached a certain age, they cut it down. So eventually it got to the point when we were all pretty much grown, past the age of 18. We could no longer get any aid or anything like that. So then my mom started doing work. You know, she worked in people's homes. You know, she worked and did house cleaning. You know, she cleaned silver. She vacuumed floors. She, you know, she just did everything. And so I wrote this poem. Because I used to watch her. I used to go with her sometimes, and I'd watch her, you know, work out. And, I mean, she did hard work. You know, when you do housework, well, you know, if you do your own, you know how hard it is. And then to do somebody else's is, you know, that's really hard. You know, when you, a lot of times you're so busy doing their stuff that when you come home, you don't have time to do your own. And my mother was like that. She worked so hard, and when she came home, she would always be so tired. And so I thought, I wrote this poem, A Black Child's Prayer. Help Mama to get some rest from cleaning other people's mess. Lord, give her some nice clothes to wear, ones that won't have rips and tears, and make her knees not hurt so much from scrubbing floors and walls and such. Give her a song to sing at night and make all her burdens light, and put a smile upon her face instead of tears that leave a trace, and make the bills all go away. Thank you, Lord. These things I pray. So many times I prayed this prayer for my mother. She worked so hard doing housework. As a child, I often cried because she was so stiff from all the chores she did for others. But, you know, she did it because she had to support six of us. And my grandmother was living with us, too, you know, and so kind of hard, too. You know, but my grandmother was getting a check because her husband had been in, you know, had worked for many years for the railroad, and so she got a pension from then. But that wasn't very much. So between her pension and the aid, you know, being gone, and my mother working, and she was only making like $130 a week, you know, and we were living in the house, you know, and we had, you know, rent when she had food and going to school and everything. So she had it really hard, you know. So I really saw how she suffered, you know, and all that she went through. And so I would pray at night to God, just make it easier for her, you know, so that she wouldn't be so tired. Because she'd be so tired when she come home. There's things that she couldn't do, you know, but she tried to do that. But my grandmother was there, and sometimes she would help with the cooking and stuff because my mother would be tired. So, you know, I thought about that, you know, when I wrote that poem. And then my grandmother, as I said, my grandmother was there, and she would help us a lot, you know. And then as we got older, you know, when you get older, you want to date, you want to go out. Like I said, my parents were very strict. We didn't really date. We didn't really date, and a lot of the people, you know, growing up in our age group did not understand that, you know. But my mother, they were very strict, and we never really overstepped the boundary of words that she told us, you know, about, you know, doing things. If she felt that it wasn't right for us to do, and she said, don't do it, we didn't do it. But my grandmother was even more stern than her, and she would really watch us with like a really, really, really close eye. And she often would say certain things that I didn't quite understand, you know, and so she would say things like, you know, like, night has no eyes. That's the one that used to really, really bother me. And I used to say to my mother, I said, what does she mean when she says, night has no eyes? And my mother would say, well, you know, she's saying that you got to be careful. You know, you go places, you do things, and, you know, a lot of times you don't really see what's going on, you know. And so when I got older, I understood it more, and I wrote this poem, which I, you know, after I came of age to understand what she meant. Night has no eyes. Night has no eyes. That's what Grandma always said, and I still hear those words in my mind, even though she's dead. Things happen in the night, she said, that no one seems to see. Shadows lurking in the dark. Evil forces are set free. The world seems very frightening then, and pathways seem unclear, bringing on a feeling of hopelessness and fear. Night has no eyes, she would warn me, time and time again. That's why you need a Savior. Make Jesus Christ your friend. Then even at life's darkest, you'll have an inner light to keep you on the right path and guide you through the night. My grandmother really knew the snares, trials, and troubles that life could hold, and she knew Jesus Christ as her guide, and so do I. Thanks, Grandma. Okay, and then my next poem I want to read is called To Get Your Attention. Now, I'm going to tell a little something about myself that maybe many of you don't know. When I was younger, you know, I used to get, I really can't explain why, but I used to get so angry about things sometimes. I think mainly it was because, you know, I was the youngest and others seemed to be doing things that, that I wasn't doing. And I wanted to do so many things. And so, you know, I would look at other people doing things and having fun, and I would just get angry. And then especially, you know, when you'd go someplace and you'd hear, like back in the time when Martin Luther King was, and you'd hear that word, you know, that N-word. And it would just make me so mad, you know. And then I, you know, like one time with my mother, we were on a side of town here in Joliet. And this is quite honestly. And these cops stopped us and wanted to know what were we doing on that side of town. And we were coming from a job that we were working there. This was many, many years ago. We were working helping my mother. And they told us, you don't belong on this side of town. You shouldn't be on this side of town. You know, you stay on your own side. And, you know, I wanted to say something because, you know, being young, you know, foolish, could have gotten myself hurt. My mother said, you know, she took her hand and hit my hand to make me shut up, not say nothing. And so then, you know, my mother just said, okay, and we drove off. And I would get so angry about things like that when I'd see that, you know, that prejudice coming through, you know, and I would just get angry. And so I told, you know, my mother, I said, you know, I said, if I was God, I said, I would really straighten out all this. I said, I'd get rid of this race, I'd get rid of that race. Okay, so you get the idea. So I wrote this poem called, you know, it's really, you know, just about, you know, just how I was feeling at the time. And it says here, it's called Start With Me. Mama said he owned the world and everything that's in it, and that he could destroy it all in just about a minute. I wondered then if God was mad and angry just like me for all the racial prejudice everywhere I see. If I were God, I'd stop the hate and shut the moon and stars, no plants would bloom, there would be no trees. I'd let creation fall. Then there would be no one to hurt me, for I'd destroy them all, you see. That's when God spoke inside my heart and said, my child, I'd have to start with thee. Many times in my life, I often felt angry, like I said, about the way people treated me and my sisters, you know, because we were raised, you know, in a white area, you know, to be honest, way up on the west side in Joliet. And there was only like another black family on that street, you know, and so even, you know, growing up, we had problems like that, you know, and see, prejudice can be in any race, you know, it doesn't have to just be, you know, one particular race, you know, prejudice, people can be prejudiced about your looks, your skin color, or if you are raised differently from others, like we were raised on a white side of town, you know, and my sister and I, we were raised in a mostly white neighborhood, which caused a lot of problems later on in our teen years. But my mother often corrected me about my feelings of anger in this area, and thank God she did, because like I said, prejudice is not just to one race. You know, it's not just, you know, whites or blacks or Spanish or whatever, Indian, you know, Chinese, Japanese. It can, in races, there's prejudices. It's sad to say. In the black race, there's prejudice. You know, some black people, you know, don't like, you know, if you're a certain skin color. You know, like we have no control over, you know, the color of our skin. But so there's prejudice in the black race. There's prejudice in the white race. There's prejudice in the Spanish race. You know, people go by looks, status, you know, what you have, what you don't have. And that causes dissension, see. That's something that we all have to work through to realize, you know, that prejudice does not just belong to one particular people. Okay. And then I wrote this little, you know, poem about, you know, just thinking about life. It's called To Get Your Attention. I just think about God one day. You know, I'd lay on the ground and look into the sky and wonder about the world, who made it and why I was here. And my mother told me one day that about the Lord, you know, who made the world, who made me, and that God had plans for my life. And I thank her for doing that. But I wrote this little poem when I was thinking, when, you know, when I was a young girl and was lying on the ground. To get your attention, he made the sky and colored it blue to bless the eyes. To get your attention, he made the trees and the lovely honeybees, the fountain high, the mountain high, and the valleys low. The grass that's green, he made it grow. The flowers in their different hue, all blossoming for me and you. The birds that sing and every creepy, crawly thing. To get your attention, he made the world and every man, woman, boy, and girl, with hopes that in the end you'd see the love he has for you and me. And I do see. I do see. I'm so thankful to God that I do know him and that he knows me and that he wants us to have a personal relationship. He wants to know us all personally. Okay? And then sometimes, you know, in life, you know, I get disgusted, you know, and as we all do, as we all do. Like I said, that's no particular, you know, race. We all have problems. We all have struggles. That's what makes of mankind. That's what makes us all realize that we're brothers. You know, struggles belong to all types of people. And so I wrote this poem, you know, because my mother would always say, you know, things will get better, you got to keep going. And I'd see her keep going no matter what was going on. She kept going for all six of us, you know, and I know that was hard for her, but she did. So I wrote this poem called Keep Going. That's what Mama said. Keep going. Those words are in my head. Keep going no matter what the cost. Keep going when everything seems lost. Keep going. God has a plan for you. Keep going. He'll help you make it through. Keep going. Keep going. So I saw these words in living action. My mother lived them, and she never gave up. She always kept going, even under the breakup of two marriages. With six children to raise, she knew she had to keep going. My strength definitely comes from her, because I've had to keep going through a lot of things. But like I said, God brought me through, you know, through cancer, breast cancer. And, you know, I just had a lot of struggles in my life. But, you know, God has always been there for me, so I've always kept going. And then sometimes when you're growing up, if you're growing up in a family where you have brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes you probably wish that you were an only child, you know, probably tell your parents that, you know, why couldn't you just have one, just me, and get rid of everybody else. But you grow up sometime in a family where you have brothers and sisters. And so sometimes, you know, in families you fight, you know, that's just natural. But my mother always, you know, would not let us fight. You know, she would tell us, you know, you're sisters, because my brother wasn't born then at that time, you know. He came along much later. But at that time, it was just my sister Shirley, Doris, Marion, and myself. And I shared a room with my sister Marion. And sometimes, you know, we would get in arguments because, you know, just sharing a room, you know, sometimes you want your own space. You want to be by yourself. But you're in the room with somebody else. And so I wrote this poem called Sister. Because my sister, you know, we were close, but there's certain things that she just wouldn't let me do that I wanted to do. And so this one is called Sisters. She never let me wear clothes, but we were sisters. She never let me tag along on dates, but we were sisters. She never let me be with her friends, but we were sisters. She always told me what to do, but we were sisters. She told me not to cry the day she married and said goodbye. I said I wouldn't, but I told a lie, because we were sisters. My mom often told me that when my sisters would argue, that one day I would miss them after they were gone, grown up and gone. At the time, I didn't really believe her, but as always, she was right. I have lost two sisters in death, Marion Wellington and Doris Crosby. I truly do miss them, but one day I will see them again because we're sisters. Okay, and then my next poem, oh, I remember this so well. I can't speak for, I don't think this really has to do with race, but, you know, I know in a, being sick in a black home, you got certain things. And I'm sure in any family, you know, when a child is sick, the parents have certain little routines and stuff that they do for them, you know, the kids know. But I remember, you know, this is how I remembered it, you know, when I was sick in a black family. Being sick in a black family was different than other folks. It meant that Mama and Grandmama was by my side, because a lot of black families didn't have a daddy or money to call a doctor. So Mama and Grandmama did the doctoring on me. It usually meant doses of castor oil and chest rubs and green tea that Grandma fixed in the kettle on the stove. But it also meant good cooking and lots of prayers. Mama said that God heard women's prayers just like he did men's. So there was no need to call the deacons. After those long prayers, they would tuck me in bed and tell me stories of the old South where they, when they were young, all about their kin and how they grew up there. They didn't have a lot of schooling or money, but they had lots of love for each other. I could see in their eyes that they missed those times and wished they could all be together again like they were back then. I never liked being sick, but I liked those stories they would tell. It made me understand that Mom and Grandmama had feelings, too, and that they could get homesick and lonesome like anybody else, and that they understood my feelings, and it made me feel closer to them. Oh, how true this was. I think often as a child, we tend to forget that our parents were once young with feelings much like our own. Okay, and then I have one final poem here. It's called, two more really. Dreams are free. My mother always said that too, you know, she said, if you dream it, you can do it. Just keep believing. Dreams belong to anybody. No one can stop you from dreaming. So I wrote this one, Dreams Are Free. Dreams are free and they belong to anybody. That's what my mama told me. So I never knew any different. I just kept on dreaming and believing, dreaming of being a writer, dreaming of getting my work published, dreaming of getting a good husband, and I have done all of it. But I still have more dreams. Mama was right, so I tell you, if you have dreams, never give up on them. Keep on dreaming, keep on believing, because dreams are free. They belong to anybody. Never give up on your dreams. And this one, this is a little story I want to tell, too. I know it's getting close to time, but I just want to, you know, just let you, you know, hear these poems because they're from my heart. I remember one time when I was young, and I was playing with my two little friends across the street, and you know, young, my mother would tell us you can ride your tricycle down to the end of the street corner and come back, and that's what we did. We drove it down and rode it down and came back. Well, these little girls were throwing rocks at a house on the end, which these German people lived. Well, they were yelling Nazi, 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 you know, and so I was yelling along with them. You know how kids are, and so they were throwing rocks. I didn't throw any rocks because I knew how my mother would really get me if I threw a rock. And so I was just yelling along, and I turned around, was riding back, and there was my mother. And she grabbed me by the arm and lifted me off the bike and she said, what were you doing? What are you yelling at Nazi stuff at these people down here? I told her, I said, well, I was just doing the same that they were doing because, you know, they were my brothers, you know, and my sisters, you know. And so she marched me down there and knocked on the door and made me apologize. And after that, I learned, you know, she said, you don't do that, you know. She said, you don't treat people to the work all the same. And then I wrote this, I thought about what she said, because the line she used was, skin ain't nothing but a color. So here's a poem, skin ain't nothing but a color. That's what my mama told me one day when I was fighting until she asked me why. I said I was only helping my sisters who were fighting a little white boy. Well, they weren't real kin sisters, but they were black like me. That's what my mother told me, skin don't make you kin. It's the heart that unites us all, and the heart doesn't have a color. All it knows is love for one another, and I have lived that by that ever since. I've met a lot of brothers and sisters in my life, some with slanted eyes, yellow skin, red skin, white skin too. Many speak languages I've never heard before, but we all are united in love for one, our fellow man. And when the chips are down, we're there for one another. Now, don't get me wrong. My mother raised me to be proud of my black skin, but she taught me that God's got more people than just black folk and that he loves them all. So we have to look past the color of the skin to the heart because skin ain't nothing but a color. Oh, how true, how true. It would be a different world if we all realized that there's only one race, true race, and that's mankind. Okay, and so I just want to end my program here, and I think I've got a quote that I read. Okay, I think I have a quote that I've read, and that I've heard, and I'm going to read it. Poems distill our deepest emotions into a very few words, words we can remember, carry with us, and share with and weave the cloth of life. Keep writing, friends, and remember, whatever you write, write to the glory of God. Bye-bye now. See you next week.